Good morning, everyone. Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6 as we look at this topic of I want to do a miracle like that. Mark chapter 6. I encouraged you a couple of weeks ago to get a part of a particular news feed called Breaking Christian News because it sends you encouraging stories of what God is doing in the world. It tells about His activity. And one of the recent articles talks about in England, 1,200 people in a matter of about 3 weeks have come to faith in Christ. The article's entitled Salvations and Rededications to Jesus. We've never seen anything like it before, says UK pastor. It also has an article about Michael Phelps. If you've been following the Olympics and Michael Phelps and the run for the gold, it's been exciting. As most people know, 4 years ago he had retired, kind of gone off the deep end. It didn't look like his life was going in any good direction, but the professional football player Ray Lewis reached out to him and encouraged him to read The Purpose-Driven Life. And that book, along with many other things, led him back to where he is today. And again, that's just the activity of God that you hear about. Another article I was reading about in Breaking Christian News was about a young lady, Muslim lady who came, in fact, a child. She came to faith in Jesus Christ. Her parents were so upset at her, they literally killed her, tried to kill her, threw her down a well, and when she was down at the bottom of the well, Jesus appeared to her and somehow miraculously got her out of that well, this water well. And she would. Then a pastor in the local community was told, go down by this well, there's somebody there that you can help. And so he just listened to the Holy Spirit, drove out, and there this young girl was that literally had been raised from the dead by Jesus, and they've taken in and now are helping her grow in her faith. Those kind of stories, you think, man, those are miracles. Those are powerful moves of God in individuals' lives, and many people come to faith in Christ, and this young lady as well. And so we read stories in the Bible, and like the one we're about to read, and we think, man, I want to do something like that. I want to do a miracle like that. I want to see God use my life that way. I want to see the power of God. And so we come to this story, Mark chapter 6, and Jesus is with His disciples, and they have crossed over, and now they are encountered by this large group of people. Verse 33 says, Mark 6, but many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. And Jesus saw the huge crowds as He stepped from the boat, and He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so He began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, His disciples came to Him and they said, now, this is a remote place and it's already getting late, so send the crowds away so they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. And I love Jesus' response to them, you feed them. And I love their response to Jesus, what? What are you saying? We'd have to work for months. I want you to listen to that, for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. And then He asked, so how much bread do you have? Go and find out. So they came back and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. And He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked upward to heaven, blessed them. That's very important you see that. And then breaking the loaves into pieces, He kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up, now this is important, 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed from those loaves. Exclamation point. I want to do a miracle like that. And so we're going to look at this whole idea of how to do a miracle like that. The big idea for the message this morning, you can see up on the screen, is this, is that when you put something under the domain of the King, when you put something under the domain of King Jesus, you open your life to the supernatural. God does things that only God can do. And so we're going to talk about that. Stephanie and I have seen this happen in our lives just recently. And let me give you a personal story. We have been sowing into a ministry. It's Leif Hetland's ministry. I've talked about him before as he ministers to the Muslims specifically in Pakistan. So we've been sowing into that ministry. Of course, we give our tithe to the church, even above a tithe, and but there are ministries that we help support like LEAPS. And but when we've been giving, we said, Lord, we're giving this money for specific things. And one of those things that we needed a car. And if you saw me around here, say, I don't know, the first of this year, up until, I don't know, about April or May, you would have seen me a lot riding around on a bike. Actually, all of the last school year, you'd see me riding around a bike, and you'd think, wow, we've got such a healthy pastor. Well, the reality is, we didn't have a car. And yes, I love riding my bike, and I love getting outside, and it's good. But May was rolling around, and I'm thinking, Lord, I do not want to be riding this bike come June. It's just going to be too hot. We've been sowing into this ministry. We need a car. We need a car. And thankfully, I mean, God answered that prayer and put it on somebody's heart within the congregation to give us the money to buy a car. Now, that to us was an absolute miracle because we were sowing, we were planning. We said, Lord, this is yours. This is what we need. And God answered that prayer in a very miraculous way. And we were very, very grateful. And so I've seen what happens when you put something under the domain of the king, he does something with it. And so that's exactly what we see in this story. This story, the disciples had this earthbound thinking about how things operate. We all do. And Jesus says, look, there's all these people, I want you to feed them. And this earthbound thinking says, well, we're going to have to work. And we're going to have to work for months to come up with enough money to pay the food, to buy food for these people. That's what the earthbound level thinks. You just have to work harder. You have to work harder to, you know, get your needs met. And that is our mindset as it concerns many things. Most people operate under an earth-cursed mindset rather than a kingdom mindset. Let me say that again. Most people operate under an earth-cursed mindset rather than a kingdom mindset. The earth-cursed mindset goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. This is what we were born under. Adam and Eve sinned, and God says this in Genesis 3, 17 through 19, since you listened to your wife, Adam, and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. And all your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and in dust you will return. So he talks about struggling. The ground is cursed. It's going to be by the sweat of your brow. There's labor. That's the earth-cursed system that we all live under. But because now the kingdom has come, God has redeemed this earth-cursed system, and we can live at a new level. But it takes a new way of thinking. The earth-cursed mindset says work, 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 struggle, 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 labor, sweat, do all you can, and at the end of the day, you're just going to be worn out. And that's how these disciples were approaching Jesus. We're just going to have to work harder. And Jesus said, no, there's another way to do this thing. If you want to see a miracle happen, here's what you have to do. So how the earth-cursed mindset affects us, it affects us in a lot of different ways, but specifically, you can see two ways. Matthew chapter 6, if you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. It affects us in our prayer life, and it affects us with our finances. Again, there are many other ways, but Matthew chapter 6 talks about these two ways. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. He says, now when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. So in prayer, here's the earth-cursed system. Here's how you pray. You beg, you plead, you labor, you strive, you work, you work, you work. And then when you finally let go of the prayer, it's like, oh, well, I hope something's going to happen. Now, folks, listen, there was no coincidence that Cliff has preached these two messages on the 17th and the 31st about how we should pray, about prayer being a petition where we say it, we release it, and it's now God's. God's trying to hone something in on us. He's trying to build something into our lives where we don't operate out of this earth curse system anymore. That's just like this: begging, pleading, striving, laboring, and prayer. And then he shows us this is how you pray. And we'll get to that in a moment. But it also, this earth curse system not only affects the way we pray, but it also affects how we view finances. If you look at Matthew 6, verses 31 and 32, he says, so don't worry about the things, these things saying, you know, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What will we wear? How are we going to pay the mortgage? You know, how are we going to get these things done? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God first. Seek it above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So in your finances, it's the same thing. We've got to work harder. We've got to look for more opportunities. It's fret. It's worry. It's despair. It's always thinking we're never going to have enough. And I want to tell you something. So we got a son, Aaron, out on the West Coast. He's trying to make it in the film industry as in film scoring. And he's having a tough time. It's tough. And it has his parents, the earth curse system, the way you say is, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to make it? And you get into this kind of fret and panic over, you know, his future and that kind of thing. That's what it's how the earth curse system works out. The kingdom system's very different. You say, you know what? God's put this in you. It's your heart's desire, and we believe that He, in time, is going to open doors for that to operate, you to be operating that in your life. So how do we move beyond the earth curse system? Let me give you a couple of examples of how the kingdom systems work and how you can have those miracles that you want to have. So we're looking here at this first example. It's Mark chapter 6. In this example, what you see is the disciples are saying, you know, what are we supposed to do? And Jesus says, go and find out how much bread there is. Go find out the number of bread and fish. And so they had to listen to Jesus, okay? And they had to obey Jesus. And then they came back, and what did they do? They gave it to Jesus. That is, I'm telling you, you listen, you obey, you give it to Jesus. And then the next thing, here's what Jesus does. He blesses it. He blesses it. And that's where the multiplication begins to happen. And then you go out and you do what you're supposed to do, which was they had to distribute it. It wasn't just that it was blessed. They actually had work they did. And then finally, the last thing they did is they had to gather it back up. There was this overabundance. And so what you see in this thing is that Jesus takes something very small, very insignificant, and there's no way. It's maybe 20,000 people. How is this going to feed? But I'm telling you, once something leaves the earth curse system, that bread and those fish leaves the earth curse system, and it gets under the blessing of God, God then multiplies it. He grows it. Now, sometimes it's immediate, as in this case. Sometimes it takes time, like in the case I told you earlier about us sowing into that ministry, Leif Hetland's ministry. Been doing that for, I don't know, a year. I can't really tell. It's 6 months to a year, something like that. Sowing for that car. Eventually, we got the car. So, but it's this whole thing of submitting it to Him. Listen, this is important. He cannot bless it until you submit it. And that goes with your finances. You say, I want God to bless my finances. Well, I'm telling you what, you got to begin with the tithe. You got to submit that to Him and say, okay, this is yours. It all is yours. You're asking me for this. He then, once you give it to Him, then He can bless it. And what I want you to see, a lot of times we think, well, yeah, it was just a miracle. Yeah, it was a miracle, but it was a miracle based on a kingdom principle. See, a lot of times we read these stories, we think, well, yeah, you know, Jesus does miracles. He casts out demons. He does miracles. He teaches people. He goes around. He does good. That's just Jesus. He just does these things. No, 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 no. Listen to me. Look. The miracle was based on a kingdom principle. What does that mean? You and I can learn the kingdom principle. And the principle is we submit it to Him, and then He blesses it. You see, I've heard too many stories of this same kind of thing happening. And a number of months ago, I shared some of these stories about Paul Keith Davis and about them going to an orphanage. They only had enough clothes, I don't know, for like however many kids, 100 kids. And all of a sudden, God just blessed what they were doing, multiplied to hundreds of kids. And then we saw a video of the same thing that happened with food. They only had enough food for 50 people, but they were able to serve 200 people. I told you about an occasion in my life as a, I guess, 19 or 20-year-old. I mowed my parents. They just moved into a new house on a 2-acre lot. It was overgrown. It was a mess. And Mom, I know she wanted to have the yard mowed. So I started. All we had was enough gas for one tank on a push mower. I mowed 2 acres, 2 acres on one tank of gas on a push mower. I just said, Lord, you're able to keep gas in this thing. This is yours, okay? And he did it. Now, I'm not saying that it's always going to be like that. Sometimes God just simply, he gives us, he doesn't give us multiply, but he connects us with the right people. He gives us supernatural revelation about an answer. He gives provision to us through other people. I mean, we don't know how he's going to answer. What I'm saying is the key to all of those things with Paul Keith, with myself, with that food illustration, and with this story in the Bible was that what they had, they said, it's now yours, Jesus. I'm giving it to you. I'm submitting it to you. The other story I want you to consider is the story in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. So go ahead and turn there. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. So, okay, people are listening. He noticed 2 empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out to where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon said, look, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. And at this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. And so he shouted for his partners to come to help them out, and those boats were on the verge of sinking. Okay, what I want you to see is the same principle here in action. After listening to Jesus, I mean, this is early on. Peter wasn't a follower, wasn't a disciple at this time. He hears Jesus teaching. He says, man, this guy's got, he's got it. He's the Messiah. And then Jesus says, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to launch out and go fish again. And Peter could have said, look, he did say, we've already tried that. But then he said, but if you say so. In other words, and this is kind of funny, I think, he was almost saying to the crowds, look, if this doesn't work out, don't say I'm the fool here. He told me to do it, okay? He was almost kind of like passing responsibility off to Jesus here. So he says, okay, I'll do it because you said so. But look what Peter did. He put his crew, his nets, his boats, his time, all, his business all under Jesus. He said, okay, I'm giving you all these things. I'm even putting my reputation on the line because people are always thinking, oh, he's not going to catch anything. He puts all these things under Jesus. He submits them. And then what happens? Boom. God blesses. Jesus blesses. There's a great catch of fish. Whenever and whatever I submit to him, I want you to listen, whenever and whatever I submit to him, it then opens up the resources of heaven to me. So what you see in both of these stories is that God does more than enough. There's all of this food that's left over from the feeding, and there are all of these fish. It is always more than enough. Again, the key things that I want you to see in the stories is they had to get out of their comfort zones. I mean, don't you know the disciples were a little bit embarrassed going around saying, hey, anybody got any food around here? Anybody? And don't you know people are thinking, you're going to try to feed us with whatever we've got? I mean, and Peter had to be a little embarrassed getting out there one more time, not having that history with Jesus. If you want to see God do something, you got to get out of your comfort zone and obey him. Listen to him, obey him, submit it to him, and then you have to work for it. Let me give you a personal story, another personal story for us. This just happened. So there's another ministry that Stephanie and I decided, you know what, we're going to sow into this ministry. And we're going to specifically ask God to give us money to pay for our taxes. Now, I'm just going to be frank with you. So it came tax time this year or whatever, and we didn't have the money to pay for our taxes. Well, I had money, but I didn't want to take it out of this emergency fund to pay for it. So I thought, well, Lord, I don't know what to do. I guess we'll just put it on a credit card, okay? We'll pay it off over time. This is what we're going to have to do. So I said, I don't want to do that, but that seems to be the only thing that we can do right now. And so we weren't anticipating paying taxes. We thought we were going to get some money back, but it didn't get a major deduction. So you know how those things go. So here we are. We're on, X amount of dollars, thousands of dollars to the IRS. I'm thinking, Lord, okay, you're going to have to come through. So we specifically sowed a seed into a ministry. Said, Lord, we're giving it to this ministry to bless this ministry, but what we're asking is that you then give us enough money to pay off our taxes, that type of thing. 2 weeks later, like last Monday, okay, whatever this is, just a few days ago, I feel a prompting of the Holy Spirit, check your escrow account. Okay, I'll check my escrow account. You know, we got set up through Wells Fargo. I looked in there, we've got all this money in there. And I called up the lady and I said, why is all that money in there? She looked at what we were going to owe for county taxes and Texas windstorm. And she said, wow, you've got way too much money here. Here, I'm going to send you back a bunch of this money. And so that money is coming back to us. It's going to pay for all those taxes. You say, here's what you say. Oh, but Pastor, you were going to get that money back anyway when they did a end of year reconciliation. Yeah, we would have got it back, but it would have been January. Here it is now, the 1st of August, and we're getting it back. So I'm just saying, you submit things to God, and then He opens up. He gave us revelation. Check the escrow account. I obeyed Him. There was money there. We're getting the money back. We're going to be able to pay off the credit card. So how does the kingdom of God operate when we submit things to His kingdom? Again, what the kingdom does, it overthrows that earth curse system. We don't have to live in strife. We don't have to live by the sweat of our brow. Yes, we have to work, and work is good. God made us to work, and that's a good thing. Adam and Eve, they worked in the garden. Nothing wrong with working, but it's this striving. It's like we can never get ahead. There's always things that we are lacking. We don't have to live in that place of division, of unforgiveness, of family disharmony, all those old things of the earth curse system. With the kingdom system that Adam and Eve lived under and that Jesus now has restored earth, we can live in prosperity, we can live in reconciliation, we can live in forgiveness, in vitality, in health. It breaks it down. I'm telling you, it breaks this old, dusty, a barren landscape, and it turns it into a lush, fertile, fruitful garden. We can live from a place of rest. We can live from a place of plenty in all of our life, in every area of our life. You see it specifically in the area of prayer. Jesus said, you don't have to babble on and on. Okay, you want to get beyond the earth-cursed way of praying? You don't babble on and on. Do Philippians 4, as Cliff preached on. Make your petition to God. Give it to Him. Turn the title over to Him. Say, it's yours now. And then thank Him for the answer. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debts against us. Lead us not into temptation. He tells us to pray. Pray for your daily bread. Those aren't long prayers. I'm going to say this, you may disagree with me, I may be wrong, okay? But I just don't know that we have to pray these long, pleading, begging God kind of prayers. Jesus gave us a model. He says, your Father knows what you need. State it. Make it simple. Turn it over to Him. Turn these things, submit these things to Him. He knows you need them. He will answer. And when it comes to your finances, He says, look, God knows what you need. He knows you need food. He knows you need rent. He knows you need these things. Trust His heart. So what do? You seek first the kingdom. Put everything that you have, your person, your relationships, your finances, your health, all those things, put all of those things under His domain as the King. And watch what He does to it. Live a righteous life. You know, pursue Him. All those things are important. So let me just kind of summarize, and I'll be done. It's just that if you want to do a miracle like that, It all begins with this thing of you got to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to do something different than what you're doing probably. Secondly, submit it all to Him. Say it's all yours and with no strings attached. Like, I'll give a little now, see what happens. I'll give a little bit more and then see what... Lord, I'm submitting my business to you now. Lord, I'm submitting my finances to you now. Lord, I'm submitting this relationship to you now. Whatever it is, I'm submitting it to you now. And then finally, do the things He tells you to do. Work it, whatever it is. And realize there's usually a pause between the amen and there it is. And that pause may be a day, it may be weeks, it may be months, it may be years. But in this amen, you're saying, Lord, it's yours now. And I'm going to work to do what you tell me to do until I see it manifest. When you put something under the domain of the King, you open your life to the supernatural. You can see those same kind of miracles that the disciples saw here in Mark chapter 6. There are a couple of books that I encourage you to get that will really encourage you in these areas. One is Robert Morris's book, The Blessed Life. It's a little bit older book, but it has great principles of operating in the kingdom. The second one is the one I mentioned several weeks ago, and that is by Gary Cassie, or Cassay, I'm not sure how to say his name, but anyway, it's called Financial Revolution, and has more than just about your finances. It's about how to live above this earth curse system in a kingdom system in every area of your life. And I believe those two resources will really help you out and getting out of this old model that we've lived under for so very long. If you're here today and you need prayer, our prayer team and deacons, they're going to be down front at the end of the service. For the rest of you, God bless you. Our first-time guest, my wife, will be in the atrium after the second service. If you could stop by and just meet her, she is a wonderful person, has a lovely personality, and I know you will enjoy meeting her. And we have a gift for you that we'd like to bless you with. Let me close out with this blessing. May God Almighty, El Shaddai, bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you in every way. God bless you, and I'll see you next week.